In this book, the book of Genesis, we see there are two kinds of pillars. Right? One is the pillar of stone. The other, the pillar of salt. Which kind would you be?
Salt.
Are you sure? And which can could you be?
Salt.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You see, the yes is not so strong. We all like to be the pillar of stone. None of us, I believe, would like to be the pillar of salt. The pillar of stone indicates building, and building in strength. You know, the two pillars Solomon built to the temple, one is called Jakim, which means he shall establish. That means the Lord shall establish his house. And the second one, which is the left, is called Boaz. That means in it is strength. In the building, or in the pillar, is the strength. So pillar of stone indicates not only building, but building with strength. Then the pillar of salt indicates what? Shame. A shame. Right? It is altogether a shame. Not useful for God's purpose. Now we can see the wife of Lot became such a pillar of shame. She was one of God's called people. She, the wife of Lot, as a rule, she should have been the building material. But due to her degradation, she became a material of shame. She became a pillar of salt. Now we come to Jacob. Jacob also was one of God's called people, right? And he was born a supplanter. He was born a heel holder, yet he was transformed, right? Transformed into a pillar of stone. And this pillar of stone is called the house of God. And how do we know the pillar of stone is for the building? Because it is called, it is designated, the house of God. If without such a designation, we would be hard to realize that the pillar indicates the building of God. We may think that is just one piece of rock, but we know now no just one piece of stone could be a house, right? That indicates the pillar eventually will be not just a piece, but a building. The building of the house of God. In the past 2 years, in this life study of this book, we have seen again and again clearly that whatever is sown in this book concerning certain truths that needs the development in the following books. And this is the way to read Genesis. This is the way to study this book. The way to study Genesis is to get all the following developments in the following books of the Bible. And the way to study Revelation is just vice versa. If you are going to understand Revelation, you have to go back, to trace back what has been mentioned in all those foregoing books already. You see, two ways. One is to go on, the other is to come back. Now, I do believe I have given you all the necessary development to understand this seed, the seed of the pillar. Number one, it is quite interesting to notice that after Solomon built the temple, you read 1 Kings, you could see the temple was built. And after the building of the temple, Solomon built purposely another item of two pieces. The item of pillars. The temple was built already. You read it, right? In our concept, the natural concept, we would think that Solomon should have firstly built the pillars, then the temple. But according to the record, it is not in this way, right? Solomon built the temple. To the common people, to all the children of Israel, you know, people might have thought that's it, or that was it, right? But Solomon, after the building of the temple, he still went on to build two pillars in front of the temple. When you get there, what will strike your eyes? Not the temple, but the two pillars. And if you do have the time, I beg you to study that. You will see the size of the two pillars, I would say, are out of proportion. Out of proportion is too big, the size. The size of the two pillars standing at the front porch of the temple were too big in size, out of proportion. The Lord has to forgive me to say this. Well, even something being out of proportion still means something. Right? We have to admit whatever is recorded in this holy book is surely quite meaningful, full of significance. Now, we have to keep in a good memory that after Genesis, you have the first Kings that has two pillars built to the temple. You may ask me, what does this mean? Well, let me say a word. These two pillars to the temple are just like a big signboard. You see, when you come today to a certain a building, right, you have a sign there designating what that building is, right? In front of the temple, there are two pillars standing there. One speaks that God shall establish, and the other speaks that in this building is strength. The two pillars standing there declare to the whole universe, to the angels, to Michael, to Satan, to all the fallen angels, and to the whole universe, to all the human beings, even to the frogs, snakes, serpents, scorpions, yeah, gophers. That the Lord establishes. The Lord establishes. And the strength is in this building. I hate that I didn't get there to see the real situation. But my reading of this record in 1 Kings, I tell you, really struck me. I was really struck by this record that my two big columns, pillars, out of portion in sight, standing there right in the front of the temple. When you get there, the most striking thing, I tell you, is these two pillars. And the Bible does say emphatically what the first pillar is called and what the second one called. The first one is called Dikim. If you know Hebrew, right away you know, my, that means what? That means the Lord shall establish. Then you look at the second one, it says, but you need in this building is the strength. It's quite meaningful. But anyhow, after Genesis, the pillar mentioned in the Bible refers to the temple. And this indicates what, dear ones? This indicates clearly that the building of God's house is altogether dependable on the pillar. You see the point? This was why Jacob didn't build the temple of God. He didn't build the temple of God, but he set up a pillar. And we all have to admit, though by that time, Jacob, especially in chapter 28, was still a supplanter. Not so good. Right? Yet, he got not only the dream, not only the vision, but also the understanding, the interpretation. You see the point? If he didn't get the interpretation of the dream, how could he interpret in this way? He interpret his dream in what way? In a way by setting up a pillar. And he called that pillar God's house. I tell you, I will say his interpretation to his dream to me was much better than that of Daniel's interpretation. Why? Because Daniel only interpreted. Daniel didn't set up anything. You see? Daniel interpreted merely by words. Not by any action. Not by any doing. But Jacob, I tell you, he interpreted his dream not only by words, saying, this is the house of God. He called the place Bethel. That means, you see, he said that was the house of God. He interpreted his dream not only by this word, but eventually by what? By his doing. He set up a pillar. And he called the pillar the house of God. Brothers, You just consider, could you believe, well, he was so supplanting. He was altogether supplanting. I would say no repentance. And I doubt he has God by that time regeneration. No repentance, no regeneration, no transformation, I tell you, no glorification. No, nothing but supplanting. A heel holder, I tell you, he could interpret his dream in that way, and he could act in such a wonderful way. Could you believe? We all have to give him a big thank. We all have to say, Jacob, thank you so much, because it was you that opened the heaven for us to see the house of God. I tell you, the heavens for the building of God's house were opened by a supplanter. Could you believe? I believe. Because in my concept, to my concept, no. It is impossible for a supplanter. It is good, it is quite possible for a Daniel. A person with the name, including God's name. You know, Daniel, the last letters, Yel. Huh? For such a person, so godly, so pious, and praying daily. Right? For him to interpret the spiritual dream, that's okay. That is quite possible, and it is logical, and it is also fair. But for such a supplanter, this is not fair. It's not logical. Am I right? But all of a sudden, he did it. I tell you, this is why in Romans 9, we are told it's altogether a matter of grace. Don't say it is not fair. I don't say it is fair. I tell you, in grace, there's no fairness. Don't tell with God, God, why you hate Esau. To me, Esau was much better than Jacob. Why, God, you loved Jacob and you hated Esau? God, it is altogether not so fair. God would say, I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. What would you say? When I hate, I have permission to hate. When I love, I have the grace to love. It is altogether a matter of love. Amen. How would you say? Brothers, I would check with you. Are you tonight Esau or Jacob? A good man or a supplanter? Tonight, do you like to be a good man? Or a heel holder? What kind of people are you? What do you? What? Do you mean you all like to be a heel holder? My, what kind of church is this? This is a church of heel holders. Huh. I tell you, we got to be a heel holder. If we don't like to be a heel holder, we'll miss the grace. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the real heel holders. Amen. But the heel holders in what? In grace. Amen. Who can deny this? I can tell you. I can shout. I can declare, praise the Lord. Amen. I am a heel holder. But a heel holder in grace.
Amen.
Oh, grace makes me different. It is grace that makes me different. Yes, in chapter 28 of Genesis, Jacob was a supplanting Jacob. But if you go on, After 20 chapters to chapter 48. From chapter 28 to chapter 48. My, you can see this supplanter has been thoroughly transformed into a man of God. Right? In chapter 28, he was a supplanter. He was a heel holder. But in chapter 48, only 20 chapters, I tell you, he became a man of God. And this man of God, I tell you, is the pillar. Is the pillar. In a good sense, the house of God was built upon this pillar. But also in a passive sense, when you come today in the whole universe to the temple of God, I tell you, the first thing you see is this God-man. Israel standing in the whole universe in front of God's building. Do you agree with me? I tell you, Jacob, after being transformed into Israel, he stands in front of God's building, in front of the temple of God. In a good sense, he is the signboard. Jacob is the signboard of God's house. Now, I just say this much concerning 1 Kings. This is the way for us to understand the Bible. Okay? From 1 Kings, you go on to the New Testament. The Lord Jesus came. Right? The Lord Jesus came. And his incarnation was a setting up of tabernacle, right? His incarnation was a tabernacle, right? That God might dwell among men. But the tabernacle was a precursor of the temple. When you see the temple, you have to realize, when you see the tabernacle, you have to realize the temple is coming. When you see a little boy, a little baby, you have to realize a full-grown man is coming. The little baby, the little boy, is precursor of a full-grown man. Right? Jesus, as the tabernacle, was an indicator that God's temple was coming. Right? This is why when the first group of disciples was brought to the Lord, and the Lord changed the representative among them, changed his name, and called him a stone. That was Peter, right? We know. The word Peter, or Cephas, means a stone. The Lord called him a stone. You shouldn't forget in Matthew 16, when the Lord asked him, "Who I am, do you say?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." Then the Lord said, "I say also unto you, that you are a stone." You realize that I am the Christ. And I have to say, or I have to tell you, that you are a stone. You need to realize that I am the Christ. You also need to realize that you are a stone. I am the Christ as the rock, and you are a stone to be built upon me for the building up of my church. Well, we have pointed already that when Peter became a real ministry, he, in his ministry, told us not only he, but all of us are living stones. All of us are living stones to be built into the spiritual house of God. Right? But, listen to this. One day, the Apostle Paul came. We all know he was an apostle of God's building. But he got caught on his way to persecute, to damage the house of God. He got caught by that time. Then he became what? I tell you, he became not only the material of this building, but also a master builder of this building. And in his writing, he says that Peter or Cephas, John and James, all these three are reputed. By their time, they were in a kind of repute that they are considered by so many saints as what? As pillars. Pillars in 1 Kings 7 refer to the building of the temple of God in the Old Testament. But pillars in Galatians 2 refer to what? Refer to the building of God's house in the New Testament. You just give me liberty to say this. Probably many, many Christians realized that Peter, you know, John, the earlier disciples, firstly, they were disciples. Then they all became apostles. But not many Christians do realize that these disciples, these apostles, are what? Are pillars. Are pillars. They were not only discipled by the Lord. They were not only apostles to disciple others, to teach others, to edify others. They were also what? Pillars. They became the signboard of God's building in the New Testament. When you come to Peter, when you come to John, when you come to James, what they declare to you. They do not declare to you the doctrines. They do not declare to you a kind of religion. They declare to you what? The house of God. Just like the two pillars standing in front of the temple declare to people what? Not a religion, not Judaism, not a set of teachings, not Ten Commandments. Am I right? But what? But a temple. When you see those two pillars in front of the temple, right where you realize the temple is there. Now, when you come to John, Peter, and James, what would you realize? I'm afraid many, many Christians do not have this sight. Many Christians, nearly all the Christians, wear a Christianity colored gloss. Whenever you mention the name Peter, What is in your concept? The apostle. Do you have the concept that Peter is a pillar? Do you have the concept that John is a pillar? Tell them the truth, even with me. For years, whenever I considered John, Peter, James, all the time I consider them the apostles. Right in front of me, they are big apostles. They are not strong pillars. But recently, I tell you, the Lord has really revolutionized my concept. Amen. Now, whenever I would say John, Peter, James, right, three big columns standing in front of me. Right? When you see such a big columns standing in front of you, what do you realize? A religion?
No.
Doctrine?
No.
Theology?
No.
Seminary? What? I tell you, right away, you have to realize the house of God.
Amen.
Today, these three columns, pillars, still standing. They are still standing in the whole universe to declare what? God's temple. Vessel.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Don't think I'm the expert in allegorizing the Bible. I sure got such a good name. Because some apostles did condemn me, saying, this witness Lee, he just likes to allegorize the Bible. Whether I like it or I don't like it, you just forget about it. But anyhow, I tell you, when it is printed this way, right? You read what? When it is printed to put D this way and to put G this way, you read what? This is not the expert's allegorization. This is the reading. Right? You put G there and D there. That is God. You put D there and G here, this is dog. Am I right? Surely God is a better printer. He is even much better than Brother Dave Nag and Brother Arnag. You see? God is good typesetter. I mean this. You see, in Genesis, firstly, God typeset a negative pillar, a pillar of salt. Do you like to be this?
No.
This indicates God would challenge people. Oh, brothers, do you like to be a pillar of salt? No, you like to be a pillar of what? Of stone. So I tell you, this Israel came a pillar of stone. Then you have 1 Kings chapter 7. Pillars here are mentioned again. Regarding what? Regarding the temple of God in the Old Testament. Then you have Galatians 2. The pillars are mentioned again. Regarding what? Regarding the temple of God in the New Testament. And then you have what? Now I come to Revelation 3:12. You have to Peter mention again. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar. And the pillar mentioned here refers to what? Not to the Old Testament temple, neither to the New Testament temple of God, but to the New Jerusalem in the coming kingdom and in eternity. Amen. Could you believe the Bible is so wonderful? You know, concerning the building of God, the temple of God, it is exactly just in these three stages. Three dispensations. In the Old Testament stage, in the New Testament stage, then in the kingdom and eternity stage. You have 1 Kings 7, right? Covering the first stage. The Old Testament temple. Then you have Galatians 2 covering the New Testament stage of God's temple. Then you have Revelation 3:12 covering my God's building in the coming age and eternity. Beside these three, 1 Kings, Galatians 2, and Revelation 3, what chapter do you have? You don't have. That's all. You see, this is God's way of typesetting. You pick up G, you pick up O, and you pick up D, you have to read, this is God. Right? You pick up 1 Kings 7, Galatians 2, Revelation 3, you could see, my, now I fully understand why when Jacob saw the vision concerning God's house, Bethel, he set up a pillar. Now you understand. Why is he set up a pillar? Because the pillar is an indicator. Amen. A signboard. A designation of the house of God. Right in the front of the Old Testament temple, were two pillars standing there. Right? Okay. When we come to the New Testament temple, we have three pillars standing here. Peter, John, James. How about this? But, hallelujah! I tell you, in the Old Testament, only two pillars. In the New Testament, three pillars. In the coming age, how many? The numbers will not be written by the Lord. It will be written by you and me. Amen. Whosoever will.
Hallelujah.
May be. The pillar.
Amen.
No one knows how many. For the Old Testament, two. For the New Testament, three. But for the coming kingdom, how many? You have to say, whosoever will, may be.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, the door of opening is open.
Amen.
Not like UCLA or CIT. Or MIT, they just receive certain number. There is the limitation. But I tell you, for the coming age, to be in the God, in the temple of God, the number is unlimited. It's open to you. Whether 10, or 1,000, or 10,000, or 1,000,000, a million. Oh, whether 10 million, 100 million, or 1,000 million, I tell you, a billion. Oh, it's up to you and me. Not only two, hallelujah. If only two, I'm through. I'm pretty sure if only two, I have no hope. Only three. You just tell me how many. You have to say, whosoever will may be. How many?
Whosoever will may be.
Do you will?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will.
Amen.
Me too.
Amen.
I'll be there.
Amen.
Whosoever will may be. Not only two or three. What a mercy.
Amen.
What a mercy, brothers.
Amen.
Don't think I am just talking nonsensically. Oh, brother, you always have to talk this way. Don't say this. Don't say this, please. Don't say this. Because when this brother Lee says something, surely he says something with some basic ground. Let me ask you, do you know the size in three dimensions of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle? Tell me. We all know, huh? 10 cubits, huh? By 10. Right? This is the small measurement. 1 cubit, the most, equals 1.5 feet. So this means what? 15 feet by 15 feet. Just like a big restroom. Right? Just like today's restroom. Fifteen this way, 15 that way, 15 the other way. The Holy of Holies was too small there in the tabernacle. Too small. Then in the temple, it was what? 30 by 30, right? By 30. The most, 45 by 45. Yeah? 45, right? 3 times bigger.
20 cubits by 20 cubits. Really?
Are you sure?
Yeah, so that'd be 30 feet by 30 feet.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. 30 feet by 30 feet, 30 feet. Okay.
Yeah.
So 2 times bigger. The Holy of Holies in the temple was 2 times bigger. And now it's bigger.
Right.
But do you realize we have covered this point in the training already?
Yeah, right.
My! The 3 dimensions of the coming New Jerusalem, which will be the enlarged Holy of Holies. What's that? What's that? Do you still remember the message? 1,000?
Yeah.
Huh? 300?
63
males. Long. And the same length wide. And the same length height.
This is the end of side one. For the remainder of the message, please turn the cassette over.
I tell you, this means what? This distance equals from here to Texas. Of course, for such a small Holy of Holies, two pillars were good enough. We're not good enough? Two pillars were good enough. But Maya, for this, see? Maya, how many pillars would be needed? How many?
Whosoever will, maybe.
Right. Whosoever will, maybe. There is a position for you. If you don't go there to be that, I tell you, there will be vacancy in eternity. My, wonderful. So, let me say this. I have been with this dear book over 50 years. The more I've been with this dear book, the more I got lost. It's too profound. You can't understand this book to the uttermost. You can't understand this book to the uttermost. And I do believe what I am ministering to you now is something dug out of the depths of this book. Two pillars were there. Right? Indicating the temple of God in the Old Testament. Now, at least three here in the New Testament time declaring God's building. But how many will be there in the coming kingdom? In the eternal future? I tell you, numberless. Whosoever will may be. Amen. Now, we must spend some time to see how could we be Peter. And I do believe up to this present time, everyone among you, both old and young, all like to know, how can I be such a pillar? Whosoever will me be, but how can I be? Right? Okay, listen to this. If you are going to really know the way to be such a pillar, you have to look at all these five places. Number one, the wife of Lot's place, where she became a pillar of salt. And number two, the place where Jacob was, a Bethel, right? Where he set up a pillar. Then the place of Solomon, where he built the two columns, the two pillars. Then, fourthly, the place where Peter, John, James were. Where they were the pillars of the New Testament church. Fifthly, you have to be in Revelation 3:12. In the church of Philadelphia. Right? It is in the church in Philadelphia, whosoever will may be. You have to look into the five places, five positions. Is your position the position of Lot's wife? Surely, I would say no. How about you? Is your position of Jacob? Is your position of the two pillars to the temple? Is your position of the three apostles, young Peter and James? Is your position in Revelation 3:12?
Yes.
Well, your answer is only right in the last point. When I say, is your position the position of Jacob? You say no. Don't say no. You have to say yes. You need to take the position of Jacob. Then you go to the position of Solomon. Then from the position of Solomon, you go to the position of the three columns. Two Peters, Peter, John, James. Then from Peter, John, James, you go to the position of Philadelphia. Amen. Now, let us study a little bit. This is why, you know, again, I say something. I got exposed to all of you because I've been always speaking now. All the foolish ones speak so much. See, whosoever talks much is foolish. The wise one is not to speak. Because if you don't speak, you never get yourself exposed. I think throughout the 13 years, I've been the most foolish one. Because I spoke the most. So I am the most exposed one. Sure, I think all of you know me in every detail. Right? Every Friday night, I got exposed a little bit. Yeah, through the 10-day training, I got exposed so much. Am I right? Okay. I'm a quick person. I got exposed. So you look at the outline I made. Right? I don't mean this. I mean all the outlines I made. You know, there was an outline. I put all the items of the experiences at Basel. Eventually, I couldn't cover that much. Right? So last week, I put out another one, expecting to cover all. Eventually, I couldn't cover that much. I failed. Tonight, I put out another one. The third one, expecting to finish the whole job, eventually, even before I came, I found out that was me, not the Lord. So, that way I told Brother Max, don't read that much. You see? Have you seen this? The scripture reading, just nearly one-third. Uh-huh. Now, we cannot go too fast. Probably even next Friday, we still have to come back to talk about the pillar. Let me try, as a quick person, to get a quick job done. Whether I could do it or not, I don't know. Only another 20 minutes. Okay. First of all, you have to stay at the place where Lot's wife was. Are you going to be one of the pillars in the coming New Jerusalem? Surely you have to escape. Escape Lot's wife's place. You cannot be a pillar as long as you stay there. You're finished. You could never be the pillar of stone. You could only be qualified to be the pillar of salt. Don't forget the Lord Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 17. Remember the wife of Lot. I'm not joking. Many Christians today and the position of Lot's wife. Sorry to say, with a hurt heart, even among us. And sorry to say, even tonight, among you, some are still there with Lot's wife. You are there. You're still there. You're still there with Lot's wife. It seems you don't care whether to be pillar of salt or pillar of stone. You don't care. But don't say this. You have to care. If you don't care tonight, someday you will repent. Someday you will not only repent, you will regret. But anyhow, to be a pillar in God's building, we all have to escape. To escape the wife of Lot. To escape that position. We all have to come to Bethel. I tell you, you have to be in Bethel. Oh, especially these last 50 years. We have been burdened with Bethel. We have been burdened by God with Bethel. No, we just cannot stay away from the church. All the time, the church, the church, the church. And I got condemned. And people did condemn us that we are too much. We are to the extreme. We don't care, they say, for gospel preaching. We don't care for Bible teaching. We don't care for so many Christian works. We got addicted to the church. We were criticized this way. You know what I told them? I said, I got addicted, not sufficient yet. I like to be more addicted to the church. I like to be drug with the church. But the church is really my drug. I hate. I have not been crazy so much. Sufficiently for the church. Don't think this is my concept. Read your New Testament. All those pillars, John, Peter, James, and Paul, they all were crazy for this building. They were crazy for this building. And recently, I mean, within these 10 years, I got a lot of correspondences, a lot of writings from people that all tried their best to argue with me. Oh, Brother Lee, as long as we pray the gospel, as long as we win the souls, as long as we bring people to Christ, as long as we teach people the Bible, as long as we help people to love the Lord, isn't this good enough? And even just within these few days, I got some impression like this. But my answer has been, still is, this, where is the church? The Lord in Matthew 16, 18 says, I will build my church. Where is this building church? Would the word, the promise of the Lord be what? A failure? Or he will fulfill? By what way? When? Where? With whom? I do believe now is the time. Amen. Now is the time. Here, right here, with you, the Lord is building His church. And I do believe. You know, nearly all Christians should pay their attention to prophecy. Let me tell you, the biggest prophecy is Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church. Don't pay attention to Israel. Don't pay attention to Antichrist. Don't pay attention to restore kingdom of Rome. Don't pay attention to 10 kings, 10 horns, 10 toes, and so forth. You have to pay your full attention to Matthew 6 and 18. I will build my church. Tell me, through all the centuries up to date, where is such a church? Right? So, we must be addicted to to the church. We have to see this. I tell you, to be such a pillar of stone, you got to be in vessel. Vessel is the place. Am I right? Not the position where the wife of Lot was. That was the place for people to be a pillar of shame. Not for us to be a pillar of building. To be a pillar of building, you have to be invested. Sorry to say to so many Christians. Then they would text me, "Oh, Brother Doomin, only you people in the church could be the pillar of stone. We all who are not in the church could not be." I would say, "Brother, the safest way, the most safe way, is to get in the church." Amen. Am I right? Amen. The most safe way is to get in the church. Amen. We all know why we have to take insurance. The most safe way is to get you insured. You may be very lucky not to have an accident for your whole life, even for eternity. I don't know. You may be so lucky. But suppose once something happens, what shall you do? You don't have an insurance. So the most safe way is to have an insurance. Several times when people outside the church try their best to argue with me, I said, "Friends, anyhow, I have the peace within me. While you are arguing with me, you don't have the peace. Whether my way is right or is wrong, is not right, or that, or this or that, I don't care. But anyhow, as long as I am on this way, I have peace." How about you telling me the truth? Honestly, do you have the peace? "No, I don't have it." I said, "Why you don't have it? But I have. Why you don't have? But I have. Why you don't have? Because you are not on the way." Don't argue with me. I would say this word to all the Christian friends: get into vessel.
Amen.
Get into the church.
Amen.
I tell you, this is the topmost insurance company. Get here. You got insured. Hallelujah. You got insured. Am I right? At Basel. It is so interesting. Right? Jacob didn't set up the pillar in any other place. Only in Basel. The house of God. This is clear. What is the house of God today? The church. If I totter along, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church. Today, the church is the house of God. If you are going to be the pillar of stone, I tell you, first of all, you have to be here. In Basel. Now, we all have to pay our attention to this one fact that, I tell you, Jacob was in Bethel twice. Right? What does this mean? What does this indicate? I fully realize, not by my imagination, I fully realize by what? By my experience. I tell you, all of us, getting into the church have two times. The first time we got in the church in a dream. In a dream. Then the second time we got in the church in actuality. I got the dream 1925. And I got into the church life actually 1932. 7 years. I tell you, I still can remember so well, in 1925, I got a clear dream. It was so clear. The dream was so clear. But that was a dream. I never got into the actuality, the practicality. It was when 1932 came, I tell you, I came into the practicality. Today, I'm in the church life, not in a dream. You check with your experiences. I tell you, even many of you, when the first time, or at the beginning, you came in the church, I tell you, it was a dream for quite a period. You may have been in a dream for 3 years. Then after those 3 years, no more dream. Oh, I am practically and actually in the church life. You see, in the past 3 years, I've been all the time in a dream. Thank the Lord that He has been keeping me in the dream. But now what? Now you got the experience. Jacob had the dream. After more than 20 years, I tell you, he was brought into the experience. Surely you have to read chapter 28 and 35. If you would compare these two chapters, as I did so much, you would see, my, what a difference. What a difference. My, in 28 was just a dream. Everything, you know, vague. Everything not so definite. But in chapter 35, here, in experience, everything is practical. Everything is definite. But, praise the Lord, whether at the beginning that was a dream or what, thank the Lord, that is a real picture. A real picture. You just consider. Many of you, or many among us, who came to church life in a dream. After a few years, all the dream became the reality. The good thing is, my everything in the reality is the same as the things in the dream. No difference. No difference. Right? The difference that in the dream something there not so definite, rather vague, but now in actuality everything is definite. Right? But everything the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need the dream and we need the practicality. Amen. Now here in this practicality, I tell you, Jacob, he not only called something. You have to see, later on we will see. He acted. He did something. He did something. The most striking point is that he not only set up a pillar, but also he poured the drink offering. Before he poured the oil, of course tonight we cannot cover this. There in 28, you don't have the pouring out of the drink offering. You only have the oil pour out there. But here, prior to the oil, you have the drink offering pour out. This is more subjective. This is more subjective. I just tell you, in Bethel, firstly, you have a dream. Secondly, you have an actuality. In this actuality, you are building the pillar. By what way? By the way, to pour out yourself. Here in Basel, what is needed is to pour yourself out. But I can't go right way further than this. It's quite meaningful. Jacob poured out the drink offering, not upon himself, nor upon the earth, the dust. He poured out drink offering upon the pillar. So you have to go back to chapter 28. You can see what is the pillar, or what was the pillar. The pillar was the rock, the stone that he used for his pillow. Again, I say, don't think I am allegorizing the Bible. You should have to realize this picture. Using the stone as a pillow to rest your weary head. This depicts what? Depicts Christ as our rest. The picture was very, very meaningful. Jacob didn't have the dream in his home, right? He had the dream in his, what? In his pilgrim trip. Yeah? Well, he was traveling through this world. We all have to realize we all are like this. We all are pilgrims traveling through, right? Pilgrims. We all are pilgrims traveling through this earth. While we are traveling on our way, we see the vision of the church. And no one who is on the way is not weary. Everybody, what? Is fully tired out. So we all need a rest. Right? We all need a rest. And where could we get the rest? Matthew 11:28 says, right? Whosoever is overladen, come to me, and I will give you the rest. So Christ is the stone on whom we can rest, right? On Christ we can lay our weary head. Amen. We can have the rest. Amen. You have to realize that this Christ on whom we have the rest is the constituent of the pillar. We ourselves are not the material for building the pillar. It must be Christ, but not Christ by himself, but Christ with us. Christ experienced by us. Christ on whom we rest and whom we have experienced. This Christ who has been wrought into our being. This Christ will be constituted into the pillar. This is why, let me say this. Actually speaking, in today's Christianity, it is hard to have the pillar constituted. Because in today's Christianity, very few people have been instructed how to experience Christ in a subject way. Am I right? Let me check with you. Have you ever been instructed to experience Christ wrought into a being? Wednesday night, Wednesday night, I had a time with the brothers and sisters from Taiwan. I told them, today, for us in the church, just to love the Lord is not adequate. Even to live for Him is not adequate. We have to, what? Live by Him. We have to live by Him. Oh, there's a big difference between to live for Him and to live by Him. You may live for Christ. You may live. You may do things for Him. But I tell you, you still are yourself. Not Christ wrought into your being. You have to live by Christ. That Christ may be wrought into your being. Then you become the material for the building. The stone for the pillar. Firstly was Christ. Followingly was Christ experienced by you. And also Christ wrought into you. So this stone is now not merely Christ, but Christ with you. Christ wrought into your being. And you become one with Christ, such a person is the building material for the pillar. I say strongly, to my concept, this could only be possible in the church life. At least, I can say this, the most possibility for this is in the church life. Why? Because outside the church today, in so-called the Christian religion, not many people have ever been instructed to have Christ wrought into your being. Right? And I do have the confidence from now on, message after message will be given to instruct us how to live by Christ. Amen. And this is the real transformation. Amen. And the real transformation is what? It's just to wear Christ into your being.
Amen.
Right? To add the element of Christ into our human being. Then what? Then we will be the material for the building of the pillar. Now, this is all happened in Bethel. This is all happened in the place where Jacob was. We all have to see this. And I do feel so good tonight because I can say such a word to you. Let me tell you a little bit. 1964, I was invited to speak to a group of people in Dallas. That was either the fourth time or the fifth time. In those 2 years, 1963 and 1964, I was invited by them to speak a few times. 64 in April, that was the last time I was invited to speak to them in Dallas. It was about 1 week. Brother Chang, Samuel Chang, and his wife, we all were there. And we three stayed in the same home. And the host was so good to me. They loved that ministry. But all those days while I was there, they indicated to me, and sometimes they spoke the clear word to me that in Dallas, all the people are so young, They don't know the Lord so much, and they cannot bear to hear any word concerning the church. So they said, brotherly, please sympathize with us. Don't say anything concerning the church. I didn't promise whether I would say or I would not say. But I answered this way. I said, I fully realize the situation here. But you have to know, and I have to assure you, the more I talk about Christ, the more I minister Christ's life to people, the more they get in trouble of the church. So this is up to you. It's an option. Whether you like to hear my ministry or not. Even I don't say a word concerning the church. I don't use this word, church. But as long as I minister Christ, I slide to people, you will get in trouble. But anyhow, they said, we like to hear the ministry of Christ as live to us. So please don't say anything concerning the church. Then I repeated again. Anyhow, as long as I minister Christ alive, you'll get in trouble. Okay. Up to the last night. My burden would not let me go. I was human. On the one hand, I like to sympathize with people, right? On the other hand, I don't like to offend people. But the ministry within me wouldn't let me go. The ministry within me told me, be strong and go to speak the word of life. What word of life? The church. Okay. That night, I went to the meeting. It was about a little over 200 people there. My host and his wife, all the little ones, they all sat in front of me. When I stood up and called Romans 12, they all dropped their head. They all knew the Bible so well. Then I gave a strong word to disappoint all the people and offend all of them. Within me, I said to myself, I don't care whether I offend you or what. I don't care because if I don't speak this, I'll be killed. I just cannot live. I have to make myself alive. So I don't care. The more I talk this way, the more I look at the people, everybody like this. Men and women, everyone like this. But I was happy. I was just engaged. You know what? Listen to this. By that time, I didn't know. After some time, I got to know. Benson Phillip was there. And he was not in the church yet. Some others, like his brother, Roddy, you know, he prayed for Benson. And James Barber prayed for Benson. And others prayed for Benson. I didn't know all this story. That night was the only night Benson went. And that was the only meeting by which he got caught. I offended all the congregation, but the Lord gained one Benson. And you know what? I tell him, don't tell Benson. He, Benson Phillip, surely has become the pillar there. And how do you know one becomes a pillar? I tell you, in the church life, we all have the sensation. Some brothers, if they are away, the whole thing collapses. Am I right? If they are here, my, that pillar supporting the whole building. Now you can see, the Lord doesn't care who is going to be offended. Am I right? The Lord cares for who is going to be the pillar. Amen. Who is going to be the pillar? Amen. Am I right? And the pillar could only be perfected in Bethel. In other words, the pillar could only be set up at Bethel. No pillar for God's house has ever been set up outside of Bethel. The pillar was set up at Bethel. And I do believe that night, 1964, April, Benson Phillip got caught here. If he wouldn't get into the church, I don't believe he could ever be a pillar. He was perfected. He was set up a pillar. Where? In the church life. Suppose he still remains in Southern Baptist Church to be a pastor, pastoring a church. I don't think he could be perfected to be such a pillar. It is at Bethel, in the church life. Now, I must go on to tell you what, number one, we have to experience Christ in the very subjective way, right? And number two, we have to be definitely and absolutely in Bethel, in the church life. Then number three, I tell you, to set up a pillar. This word is simple, to set up. But setting up includes what? Includes a lot of perfection. A lot of perfection. Now we come to the three pillars in the New Testament. We all know Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman, right? He was a kind of a man without any kind of perfection. Am I right? When he was called, he was fishing. Right? I tell you, he was raw, R-A-W. He was wild. He was fully not perfected. And the Lord Jesus spent 3.5 years over him. You read the four Gospels. Many, many times the Lord spoke, picking Peter as the very object. No, the Lord dealt with him for 3.5 years. And eventually he was perfected. Right? He was perfected. In good things, he was set up. And the day of Pentecost, I tell you, he was set up. Right? On the day of Pentecost, he was set up as a pillar there. Now, if you read Acts 2, 3, 4, and so forth, sure you can see, my, in the New Testament temple of God, a pillar standing there. Who is this pillar? No doubt, Peter is standing there. Young people, this is my word from my heart. The Lord's recovery is spreading.
I have the full assurance, and this spreading will be in a good speed. In a very good speed. But anyhow, it depends upon some pillars. Some pillars. I do believe in all the leading cities in this country, there will be a church. There will be a church in all the leading cities. Not only in the USA, but in all the leading countries on this earth. Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, in all these continents, all the leading countries, in the leading cities, there will be a church. But there is a need of some pillars. I do hope you young people could see this. Could see this. You have to say, Lord, now I cannot deny that you have pointed me to your way. I cannot deny that I have heard your up-to-date word. I heard that I have to experience Christ in a subjective way. And I heard I have to be perfected in the church life at Bethel. I heard this. I cannot deny. Lord, have mercy upon me and give me and grant me the grace I need. Now, I'm going to mention another brother. Please don't pass on my word to him. Brother Zhang Su. Even in 1968, listen to this, just 9 years ago, he was studying medicine in Germany. All of a sudden, he wrote me a letter. Why he wrote me a letter? Because he wrote me the letter from Germany. 7 years before that time, 1961, he was still a young student in high school in the Philippines, in Manila. In those years, I spent every year about 4 months in Manila, mainly to help these young people. And among these young people, Zhang Su was one. And I have to tell you, 1951, in March, 226 young people got baptized. Zhang Su was among those young people. Probably he was not baptized among 51. He was not baptized in that year, maybe later. Now, you know, Felisa Lim, Sister Felisa, and that precious brother, Stephen Kwa, that makes you laughing all the time. And co-worker, Brother Daniel, a lot. All of them were, some of them were still junior high. Most of them are high schools. That was 26 years ago, 1951. They all got baptized under my ministry. So I spent that much time, year after year, okay, to make the story short, up to 61, summertime. I brought all of the seeking young people to the summer retreat place, which is called Baguio, on the mountain. That retreat, young people conference, was very much under the Lord's blessing. All the young people got thoroughly touched by the Lord, and Zhang Su was there. Right after that, he went to Germany to study. Then, 68, out of a sudden, actually, after that year, I didn't know where Zhang Su was. I was in USA, and he was there in Germany, studying medicine. Out of a sudden, he wrote me a letter. listen this. Even that letter, he didn't call me Brother Lee. He called me Uncle Lee. Saying, Uncle Lee, I heard that now you are in Los Angeles. And I tried my best and I got your address. And then he went on to tell me how he was studying med in Germany. He got burdened by the Lord to give up his study to work for the Lord. And he contacted a famous preacher. And that famous old preacher poured out cold water upon him. Told him, don't do this. You have to go back to your study. Don't consider this way. So he got no way to go. He said, I got no way to go. All of a sudden, I felt I should write to you. Then I answered in a very simple way, saying, yes, I am now in the USA, and we have some churches, and one here in Los Angeles, and we are going to have a summer conference. If you feel led of the Lord, please come. Then we can have more fellowship. And he came, 1968. He came as a young man, nearly knowing nothing, you know. And by that year, we had a trip to the Far East, and he joined that trip. When he got to Manila, his parents were there. The parents did their best to convince him to go back to Germany to study medicine. And the parents were good friends, very intimate friends to me. And they begged me to do my best to tell Jiang Su not to give up his study of medicine and so forth. But anyhow, Jiang, by the Lord's grace, overcame the parents. And he came back to Los Angeles. And he stayed in Los Angeles for about 3 or 4 years. You all know the story. Just in that period, 3 or 4 years, he got what? He got perfected. He got perfected. You know, Maya, the whole Europe, Germany, England, Denmark, even before Jiang Su went there, the whole Europe was prepared to what? Oppose the Lord's recovery. They were afraid of my going there. But to their surprise, just a little Jiang Su going there. They have built up a strong defense around Europe, but the Lord sent from the air. And to their surprise, and dropped a little Chinese there. And I tell the truth, today in Europe, no one can defeat this little Chinese. What I mean is, the Lord covers him. And don't pass on this tape to him. And don't let him know I'm talking about him tonight. The Lord has perfected him in that 3 or 4 years to be a pillar. You know, John, Brother John Ingalls came back. Today he told me, oh, Brother Lee, Jiang Su is needed. Jiang Su is needed. He has to go back. We taught him there the things, you know. So, young brothers and young sisters, this is my burden tonight, that you ought to realize our, even your, responsibility is tremendous. It's tremendous. It's crucial. If within this coming 3 or 4 years, many of you will be perfected as Jiang Su, Maya, sure the Lord will have a high speed in his recovery. Just one little Jiang Su went to Europe, how much the Lord has done. I think you all heard Brother John Ingalls' report last Sunday. Through this one little brother, my Germany has opened up, Italy, Switzerland, England. My, suppose we have 100 Jiangsu. How about? You are here more than 100. Am I right? Now, we must see. See what? We must see what the Lord needs is this kind of signboard.
Right.
Am I right?
Amen.
When Jiang Su went to Europe, when he got there, all the angels in the heavens, hallelujah! Oh, the signboard of the temple of God comes! Could you see this? The day on Pentecost when Peter stood up, we all have to realize all the angels in the heavens singing hallelujah. This is what? This is boss. Boss. This is boss. In it is the sixth. Am I right? When Peter stood up, all the angels will say, my, the building of God comes. This is my burden. My burden is not just to release a message to you. My burden is that many of you could see there is the chance, the golden opportunity, the utmost possibility for all of us to be perfected. To be made a pillar, because we are now right in Bethel.
Right.
Am I right? And our opportunity is much better than that of Peter.
Amen.
Am I right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are even here in Revelation 3:12. Peter was there in the gospel. In the beginning of the New Testament, we are at the end of the New Testament. We have much better opportunity. But keep this word. That is, you have to experience Christ. Don't exercise your mentality for your opinion. Forget about that. Opinion brings people nowhere. Just forget about mentality. Love the Lord and take Him as your life and take Him as your person and live by Him. All the day, live by Him. And while the church is here, while the ministry is here, take everything, absorb everything as much as you can as what Jiang Su did. In those 3 years, Jiang Su did his best to swallow, to devour, to absorb, to soak in everything from the church as well as from the ministry. I'm not boasting. I'm speaking the truth. I do believe it is prehistory, the opportunity here. Prehistory. There's never been such a church life as it is now in Anaheim. And the Lord's ministry of the Word has never been so bright, rich, as it is today. And you all are in this church and under this ministry. I tell you, this is a prehistory opportunity. You just forget about all the doctrines, theologies, concepts, opinions. Learn of Jiang Su. Learn of Jiang Su. Knew nothing but everyday soak, absorb, devour, swallow, take in, and get yourself saturated, fully saturated with the church life and the Word of God. I do believe even after 3 or 4 years, many of you will be pillars. Hallelujah. Then, wherever you go, I tell you, the pillar goes. the same bird of God building those. How about this? Pray the Lord. Now it's your turn. Try the best to confirm. Amen.